What's up, everybody?
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to Partners and Pals. First episode of 2024. I'm Donnie Magrin.
I'm Sean Magrin.
And with us, we have Tsunami Samurai. Gentlemen, would you like to introduce yourselves?
I'm Captain Pepe.
I'm Ulysses Retcha.
Thank you guys for being here so much. We got a lot to talk about with you all. And before we even get into anything, two things. One, Tsunami Samurai is all over Spotify, so if you haven't heard them, they have tons of singles. Check them out after you listen to this.
We do.
And they'll be on our playlist after this.
Yes, they will.
We always add bands to our playlist.
The Partners and Pals playlist, yep. Actually, you guys are already on there because you played a Partners and Pals show.
So. Yeah. Okay.
We'll take it.
Yeah, well, definitely take it.
We have big Partners and Pals news. I'm going to let Sean do the announcement because he did all the legwork, but we have big...
Oh, well...
It's official.
We're not just your hosts. We are your executives. I mean, we always were, but now it's official. Partners and Pals is now a limited liability corporation.
Yeah.
Next step, yeah.
We've sold out, even though that doesn't mean...
Even though we have nothing to show for selling out, unfortunately.
But technically, my bathroom is an executive bathroom now.
That's a good point.
Executive domes.
No. I shot you yesterday, yes. You know, the timing was perfect.
Yeah, so. he called me right after. I was like, dude, I just took an executive shit. I'm like, oh, awesome.
But, yeah, I mean, we've been doing it long enough, and we're doing shows, and, you know, what if we get in a financial bind, you know? We don't want to get prosecuted as people, or we don't want to, you want to do that as a corporation, because apparently those are citizens now.
Then you can write a bunch of stuff off.
Right.
Yes. Oh, shit.
Yeah, you can write a bunch of stuff off, man.
Yeah.
Including that toilet paper.
Including the toilet paper in the executive room.
Yeah. Dude, you can totally start writing off your waters.
Waters?
Yeah.
I mean, you provide it for everyone else, so.
Can I write off, like, all my THC stuff as, like, to prepare for the show?
You could if it were legal in this state, maybe. I don't know.
Not if Mitch McConnell has anything to say about it.
Yeah, no, he'll keep that.
That dude's a dick. He's the worst.
Do y'all remember when his wife's family's company was, I'm not going to say exposed, but one of their ships was leaving Brazil and it had a whole bunch of blow on it?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, exactly. Somehow that's all foggy now, you know?
Oh, yeah. They announced it one time, like on a Friday or something, when the news was going to get
bigger. It cycled so fast. It was crazy. It should have been a bigger deal.
It should have been. I mean, part of me was like, oh, man, that's not awesome, but it's like, wow, that's entertaining. And the other is like, wow, that's really bad.
Yeah.
Like, we're just letting this shit come in. Mm. But... anyway, it's a new year. It's a new season.
Everybody have a good new year.
Yeah, it was
like Christmas and everything.
Yeah, it was all right. I played video games sitting home by myself. It was pretty wonderful.
Really? Did you get new video games for Christmas? Or are we just talking?
Yeah, I got Stray, the one where you play as a cat.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know if you were fucking with me.
So that's an actual game?
And they play it like, you know, one of these other strategy or action adventure games.
Yeah, you start getting more like cyber stuff. You add to the cat. I mean, it's a real cat. And you're with like your group of other cats. And then you fall off this thing and you end up on this adventure to try to get back to your, like, what do you call it? Bunch of cats together.
That sounds fun.
But it's fun. Yeah, the jumping and the like, bat, like it's cool. It's cool. It's very cat-like mode or whatever. I guess pretty realistic. I got it for Xbox One, but I don't know what all it's available.
I think it's
on
PC as well, if I remember correctly.
Or PS5, that's all.
I don't know. It might be.
It's possible, yeah.
Because it's an indie game,
so it could be. It shouldn't be exclusive or anything like that.
I don't
know
who made it or anything. But it's fun. Yeah. I don't know. Pass the time.
I might check that out. Yeah, I got Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the game.
Well, I have a question about this game.
For Atari?
No, for PS5. That and Spider-Man 2.
I have a quick question about the cat game.
Oh, yeah.
Is there any part of the game where you get to conduct a chorus of cats in an alleyway.
That might be a mission in it, you know?
I haven't beat the game yet, but it's not. It hasn't came up yet.
Okay. So maybe after you finish one level, like, it'll pop up as one of those interim things you need to do to...
A little mini game.
Well, it was worth a shot. But you got your Texas Chainsaw Massacre game. Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to step all
over. No, it's fine. Yeah. We're just talking video games.
Let us know more about that. Let us know what's going on.
It's cool. You can either play as a family.
This is PS5?
Yes.
Okay.
And you can either play as one of the Sawyer family, or you can play as one of the Indians. So you can either escape from them, or you can chase down people.
Was that grandpa alive really sucking on her fingers?
Yeah.
What the hell was wrong with him?
That's part of the thing in the game, too, you drain blood and put it in a bucket and burn. You gotta feed grandpa every so often.
I heard that he might have borderline personality disorder.
Borderline.
Like, he looked dead in the movie. They made him up to look like a dead person. Oh, yeah. You think he's dead, and you see him sucking on her fingers. Like,
I met him.
That was some good horror.
Grandpa.
Suck on your fingers?
No, but he said, he signed, I had him sign, he signed a headshot, and then I had him sign my,
fingers.
Collector DVD, but he signed it, "Keep on Sucking."
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm just picturing him at Comic-Con, and everybody just like, coming up and putting finger or two in there.
This must have been before COVID.
Oh, yeah.
No, this is the reason COVID happened.
This was at the Georgetown drive-off. It was amazing.
From Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Jim Duncan, I believe.
Duncan fingers in it. And I don't know why.
Did he do anything else?
No, well, he showed up when they pulled up.
His career?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Would have catapulted him.
Chainsaw 2. I don't remember that much of Chainsaw 2.
Jim Duncan's so auto funny. Repair or something? You know?
Probably. That's what most of those guys have, an auto repair shop. I'm like, hey, that was Grandpa.
Even in the movie, that one guy had the auto repair at barbecue shop.
Yeah.
And what was his name?
He was the chef.
Oh, okay, he was the chef, and he kind of had like an overgrown Mr. Rogers haircut.
Yes. That was a... that's a good movie.
I don't get is how he was able to hit her with that broom in that little truck. You know? Like, how the hell... Did he just... You know, I'm sorry. It just, it's one of those things in the movie that just caught me.
I need to rewatch
The Great.
Some people just got it.
The Great.
Yeah. Apparently he's got the moves when it comes to...
It could be like the best independent film ever made.
It's that, Night of the Living Dead. I didn't know Texas Chainsaw was independent.
Is Halloween independent?
Yeah, when they first... when it first was released as an independent movie, and it was...
They didn't have a Hollywood budget or whatever. They just...
No, Jamie Lee Curtis got paid $800.
But that's what made her a star too, right? She didn't have anything before that.
She did. And then Donald Pleasance, I think, got like $2,000 because he didn't want to sign on for the royalty thing. He just said, "Give him the money up front," and said that he's been kicking himself ever since. Of course. And the guy that played Michael Myers got paid $25 a day and got to keep the jumpsuit.
That was a deal.
Yeah.
Quite a deal.
I mean, not for the actor. Whoever's still getting paid for that movie right now, that was a great deal.
The first Godfather, it wasn't independent. They definitely had backing from Warner Brothers, I think, but American Zoetrope, like... where Coppola and Spielberg and George Lucas were all at before, like, Star Wars came out and everything, you know, before they got big. It was semi-independent. Like, they had to, like, in terms of filming, they didn't have all access to, you know, what the studios would provide if you were... They just had a little, like, budget coming from the studio. And they're like, if it works, hey, that's great. If not, you owe us this money. And
well, it worked.
It worked, yes.
Have any of y'all seen Godzilla Minus One?
No.
Supposedly that's a throwback to, I guess you've seen it then?
I've seen it.
Is it an American Godzilla movie?
It's a Japanese Godzilla movie.
Those are the ones I like.
Because I won't watch an American Godzilla
movie.
It was made for like 50 million or something, where I think the last American one was like 300 million or something like that. So, and it was a big like F you to Hollywood. Like it's really put them. Because it's made a lot of money and it's been real successful, at least for, I guess, how much.
Godzilla Minus One.
Yeah, well, it's still running at theaters, and they thought it was just going to be in there for a second.
Just recently
It's Japanese. It's set post-World War II, and it's like a kamikaze pilot that, like, chickened out on his kamikaze, like, mission, I guess, and flew back, and then, I don't know. I don't want to give, like, away a ton of stuff, but that's kind of the setup at the very beginning. And it sort of follows him after that, and it's kind of got like the parallel of his like post-traumatic stress and his public shame for not doing his duty and the country losing the war and stuff. And a lot of people were pouring that like their frustrations on him because he went back to his hometown and they knew he left to be a kamikaze pilot and he came back alive.
Yeah.
So it's got like some parallels and stuff of that, and then in Japan reinventing itself after the war and all that stuff. So it's really good. It's not just a Godzilla movie like it was.
Plot and storyline,
and then the effects like look great, especially like compared to like what I've seen with the new Kong and Godzilla that's coming out, the new American one, and they're like both running beside each other like two Marvel heroes or whatever, like they're like they're not huge or whatever. And so this one, I don't know, it looked great. It only showed it kind of like Jaw style, like Godzilla just popped up here and there, and I feel like it ran from probably something like 1945 to 1949-ish, like the story. So anyway, highly recommend it. Yeah. I don't go see movies very often. My son went and saw it by himself at Baxter Avenue, and then he asked if I would go see it with him.
He's like, you gotta check this out.
He's 18, but he's also a huge Godzilla fan. And he knows like his stuff on it, like which ones are good and not.
He says it's good.
I know it's good also, but he's definitely an expert even above me.
I don't know, most of them, they do tend to take place around World War II, that era. And I noticed like at the beginning of the Godzilla saga, this is just a scary monster. Everybody's terrified. The movie's supposed to be scary.
The first one, it looks terrifying too.
it's just
green suit episode.
But yeah, everybody's running for their lives. Everything's catching on fire. Ships are sinking. And then about like the early 60s, they made Godzilla kid friendly.
Yeah.
And he started having moves like Godzilla Megalon. He started, like, there was a kid that was friends with him, and Godzilla would kind of like get knocked over and then get up in a boxing stance and go at Megalon. And there were like
a few movies. The one slides on the tail.
Yeah, that's another
good example. Yeah.
Yeah, he slides on his tail and does the double kick.
That was him kicking himself into a new era, really.
That's like,
this is what we're doing now.
Had to appeal to the next.
Those are great in their own way, too.
Oh, yeah.
Love, like, Mechagodzilla and King Ghidorah.
Yeah. King Ghidorah, that's my favorite
me
one.
Me too. I want to get a King Ghidorah tattoo, actually.
Yeah, that's where they send the baby Ghidorah back in time. They go back in time, drop off the baby Ghidorah, and then go back to the current time, and Ghidorah's fully grown, just fucking up Japan. And,
I don't remember that part. That's great. That makes me want to rewatch some of them. And it's funny because some of them will pop up with like different names, and it's like the same movie as one you'd seen before or something. And then other ones just like seem like they just fell through the cracks altogether. Have you watched any of those Ultraman stuff too, the original series? It'll have some, it was the same producer, but it was a TV show. Very like Power Ranger.
They had an Ultraman like character in Godzilla versus Megalon.
That was Jet Jaguar.
That's
And it was like made to look like the other show. But anyway, they have some of those Godzilla costumes in it, but they're like spray painted different, and they have horn on it and stuff. So it's really funny. But they're like it's like the suits from a closet are kind of beat up. You know, so there is a Godzilla that's like spray painted a different color, and it's the Loch Ness Monster. Anyway, they're fun if you ever need another, like, you know, kaiju rabbit hole to go down.
Absolutely.
Nice.
What's your favorite Godzilla movie?
You know, I don't know the names of any of them. I've just, like, watched them all.
It's
like,
kind of hard to remember.
Yeah, it is. It's like...
Son of Godzilla was, like, an all-star. Because it had, like... I don't remember if King Ghidorah was in that, but I know. Mechagodzilla, Moth...
No. That's the one they're on Monster Island.
Yeah.
It's got the big... Prey Mantis, Mega Mantis, or Giant Mantis, or something like that, or something, I can't remember.
It's so long.
Medilla,
big spider.
Yeah, there's the big spider, and there's Mechagodzilla, and a couple other ones, and then of course Godzilla's kid Manila is in there hanging out with the kid, and somehow Manila can talk because that's more marketable. Godzilla can't talk. None of the other monsters could talk, but
that
Manila,
was the first one I showed my son.
That's
when he was a kid.
I loved it when I was a kid. I still love it. I felt like Manila was my friend. You know, as Manila looks a lot. Well, I'll say. Remember the show Dinosaurs from?
Yeah.
The baby.
Yeah.
Looks
yeah,
just
right.
like Manila.
I never thought about it, but as soon as you said that, I knew where you were going. That's funny. And it is a good one to, like, introduce kids to. It's funny. The son of Godzilla. But I love those little Mothra ladies. And we have another song, like, coming up soon. It's, like, kind of based on, like, that a little bit.
Oh, cool.
It's about a volcano, really. But the Mothra, like, chant that brings it out of sleep was one of the, like, three main influences for the song.
I didn't realize a lot of these villainous monsters, or can't really say whether they're villainous or heroic, it switches up, but, like, I didn't realize, like, I knew Ghidorah had its own movie, and Mothra, but, yeah, some of these other, you know, either villains or the opposite of what, you know, the heroes.
Yeah, I think Rodan had its own movie first, or it was part of that, like, yeah, of a triple feature 2-hour thing, anyway.
I feel like I need to catch up on that aspect, get the rest of that world together, even though, you know, a lot of those were made independently from one another. But
where did you all see them as kids? I remember watching them on the WDRB TV 41.
That's what I saw them there.
They had like a monster matinee or something, didn't they, on Sundays or Saturdays?
Something like that. I watched them there, and then like my
TBS would have them. Or TNT, so either one.
My buddy had, in high school, he had, like, all the old Godzilla movies, so we would just go over there and, like, drink two beers and be totally hammered.
That's when you're, like, or high school, college age or whatever.
Yeah, high school, yeah.
When we had a Blockbuster on Bardstown Road, I think, like, God, I was, like, 7 or 8, but there was, the part where they had the cheaper cassettes that were, like, $5.
Yeah.
And that's where I got my first one, and because I played the Nintendo game, I just kind of ran across it, but I saw there's a movie, and my dad's like, yeah, there's a bunch of movies in this, and I got Godzilla vs. Megalon, and that set me off, and then, I started renting them all.
It's the most sequel movie of all time.
Yeah, aren't there... Well,
there's like 50 something of them.
Okay, it's got to be up there. Boy,
that's I mean, I didn't count them, but that was like on a wiki or something. I don't remember that came up like somehow.
I remember I looked it up like 10 years ago. It was at like 30 in Japan alone.
Exactly. It got versions.
Yeah.
But there hasn't been a ton of American ones. I bet there's only been about 6.
They're not over good, though.
They don't need to be.
I didn't like... I tell you what,
Godzilla in Boston Harbor,
right?
Like on dialysis and like got oxygen in, just looking rough.
I did like Kong Skull Island though. That was actually decent.
I've never seen it.
That Bone Monster was pretty neat. On there. What was that? Anyway.
There's a bunch of good actors in there too. Like Samuel Jackson's in there. John C. Reilly's in there.
Wasn't Kong originally? An American movie? Or is okay.
But as far as, like, the big monster movies, like, as far as, like, the new ones, the Skull one, or Skull Island was pretty cool. I like it. But I I probably will see Kong versus Godzilla, even though I'll probably just be like a snob about it like the whole time I'm watching, like, this isn't any good.
You ever seen King Kong versus Godzilla?
The
movie,
the people in suits era still?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not very good.
No, it's not. And King Kong 1, I was kind of mad.
But didn't in Japan, like, Godzilla win in the Japanese version? Like, they shot them both, like, it was like an American-Japanese collaboration, and I think there's two different endings. This may just be, like, urban legend or something, but I think that the Japanese version, Godzilla wins.
I hope so. Well, now I'm going to have to find out. Because that would make sense, especially back then.
Yeah, you could probably find that somewhere. Alternate ending. YouTube.
Yeah.
I watched a fucking... are you guys into, like, really bad horror movies like we are?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of a movie called Scream Time?
Uh-uh.
Oh, my God. I didn't tell you about this. It's from 1983. It's awful, but it's so awful that it rules. It's like one of those anthology horror movies where it's like three different stories in one movie.
Huh. Is it self-aware that it's bad?
That's what makes it awesome. Yeah. And
those two kind of different feels.
What they're doing is they're watching different movies, and all the movies seem to be British. And, like, that's the plot of, like, you know, how, like, you get to see each one of the movies. And it's, like, they steal a bunch of... It's these two guys in New York that steal a bunch of VHS tapes. And they're like, like, this is so bad. They're like, hey, we're going to kick in your door and watch some movies here. And then
when the 80s gangs would just come into your apartment like the third Death Wish.
And they're all just trying to sell, like, Joe Pesci or something?
Yeah. It's awful. It's so bad that it's amazing. It's on Prime.
Yeah, that perfectly explains it. I mean, those kind of movies are great.
Oh, yeah. I love those.
He used to work at a video store, so, you know, he'd come home with the weird stuff all the time. So yeah, we probably watched a handful of those oddball movies that you're talking about.
I used to go to that store
back when Kroger was a Winn-Dixie.
Yeah,
Winn-Dixie.
That's when I got like Double Dragons pulled through the whole way.
It's still there.
We used to trade like movies for food from them, and they would come over and we were trying to help acclimate them to the United States and be like, hey, you need to watch Titanic. Watch Goodfellas.
Did y'all really give them Titanic?
No, they got whatever they wanted. But they would come over and get two or three movies, and we would put in an order of food. And so it was one of those exchange things.
I moved away for about
6-7 years. But when I came back over here and went in there, they remembered me, and it like touched my heart like really deep. They remembered me because they're all like, man, 10 years older now or whatever. They can speak English pretty well now.
Like, they were much wiser after watching American media.
But yeah, it felt good. It felt good to be remembered.
That's my favorite Chinese place too.
It's good.
So good.
It stood the test of time.
And I feel like with Chinese restaurants, the crab rangoon's gonna make or break what I think about it.
So, you're absolutely right.
I mean, if you can't do that, then I don't wanna fuck with nothing else yet. But there's everything they have is so good. Double Dragon, we're plugging you. Give us free shit.
Remember all those videos?
Yeah.
That you watched.
I actually went in there once to pick up an order, and they didn't charge me. And I felt foolish, but I still went back and paid them because I felt bad because it's Double Dragon. So
yeah.
I'm like, no, I'm like, they've been here forever. I'm like, it's locally owned. No, I'm not gonna.
So it wasn't like you were the 100th customer or something.
No, yeah, I was like, shit, I didn't pay. I'm like, fuck. And I had to, like, you know, drag myself back in there. Like,
I feel like they would have remembered that for decades.
Really? Yeah.
Every time you came back in.
Yeah.
I've never slid on payment at a Chinese. Like, I've never, you know, like.
Oh, yeah.
Usually at the restaurants.
I bet as soon as it popped up on the caller ID, they're like, this motherfucker.
This guy here.
Yeah.
Well, good for you for taking it back. Shop local.
Yeah. So let's talk about Tsunami Samurai for a minute. You guys have a shit ton of singles on Spotify.
We do.
Do y'all have more recordings in the works coming up, or
we're setting up the studio to start recording?
Yeah, there's there's definitely gonna be more. We had tried to do somewhat of an album with the stuff that is on Spotify now. I can talk about that, which is like his idea of like a pretend spaghetti western type setting with a samurai as the main character. So some of the songs, like for example. Athena of the Plains would be like the warrior princess, or you know, well, she's a samurai, but anyways, then it's a girl too, so
yeah, it's kind of an alternate history,
like an alternate West. Reality to the West. So we kind of like have songs that we wanted to portray those, that portray stuff like that. You know, again, Athena of the Plains is like a galloping a western type, going across the canyon, and you'd say you've heard it and you know you understand.
Song pumps
so like
up,
each one has their little
like seppuku represents like violence.
Seppuku, we have that on there, and it's very just in your face, and but again, part of this, it was all going to be a part of an album released all together when COVID hit, of course, and like it sort of fell apart. But yeah, it's still up there. That's basically what we're trying to go for as far as these songs go. Originally, since we started with Surf, as we were doing it, it just kind of delved into the Ennio Morricone stuff and, other spaghetti western type things, as well as like spy music. You know, at one part of our evolution, we were doing spy tunes.
That's
we did the James Bond theme and Dick Tracy, stuff like that. So, right now it seems like we're kind of latched onto the western theme for the most part.
You know, it's working. So you kind of go, but in the way that the pandemic was kind of like hard on releasing some of that, it was actually sort of the reason it happened in the first place. Whereas like that Samurai in the Sea, which is kind of like what the project was called, was something that I had thought about working on for probably almost a decade. And then I just bought the interface with 8 inputs to start recording our rehearsals. And as soon as I bought it and set it up, that's when the pandemic happened. And then it was like, you know, shows and rehearsals and all that. And, you know, that was like, we were early on. It was like, we didn't even know if we could be in the same room and so all the things. So we were like there. But that gave me like the time. Also, the job I worked, I was able to get a lot of time off of work because of the pandemic. And so that afforded me the time to be able to go into it. And that was like a recording also, like I didn't put any thought into like how it would be played live or anything like that. It was just like make it as good and cinematic.
Right. Well, yeah, that's what he has, the sound, like, yeah, sound like an awesome soundtrack. Like it's
exactly. It was kind of like, it's supposed to spark the imagination.
It kind of reminds me of Pulp Fiction, that mix of like California surf and then that, even though it's the desert, that desert surf sound.
Yeah. And like you can't, you know, like as much as like you want to go back to like anything before 1964, like you can't pretend that like punk hasn't happened and post-punk, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So these other elements get to get mixed in there. And at first, like, I try to resist them or whatever, but they come in and they sound good. And it's like, okay, like, fuck it. We're just going to go in this direction. Like, you know, the purist in me, like, falls off a little bit. But, you know, what's falling off on being a purist if it's going into new territory?
Right. I mean, I always like hearing people do their own spin. Like, that's what's cool about music is everybody listens to so much different stuff. So if you do a certain type of music, you can hear like the little other elements of influence and stuff, and
plus it doesn't hurt to step out of the box a little bit because there is so much out there.
True, and that's also kind of how it became like an alternate version of the American West in the story or whatever, because in the story it is like the stranger is like this female samurai showing up off the ship, like getting off, you don't know who she is. So it was kind of fun to sort of make the stuff up as we were writing the song. So it's not like we had the layout of what the story was going to be. It was just sort of like the songs were popping up in little pieces and we were putting them up here. And then so we're like, how does this, you know, like a young samurai woman like getting off the ship here become Athena of the Plains that's leading a group of Native Americans to fight, you know, the white man and stuff. And so it's like we're trying to like put like together a whole thing. But also, you know, you get like some concerns of cultural appropriation and stuff like that. So it's like, do we just go like Avatar cartoon style and just sort of make it like an alternate world where you can borrow different pieces
right.
of things and not have to worry about like literal history or, you know, things like that, right? Because it's, you know, you want to let your imagination go and you want to borrow from all these different cultures, but you want to, you know, be respectful and stuff too. And sometimes right. it is like a weird balance too. And I don't know all the answers, you know, whatever, right. like where that line is and all the time. But
if she's in the Old West though, that means she's in modern day United States. So it's not uncommon to have a Japanese samurai with a Greek name, and
somehow it happened.
Right. So
in our universe, somehow she becomes that person, but it's like what happens in between, why is she there in the first place? Stuff. Yeah, I don't know. So that like, that leaves Athena. More imagination to keep like coming up with more, you know, songs.
I think you guys just made me like you all even much more because you're an instrumental band, but there's still stories and plots to the songs.
Yes,
that's
true.
That's fucking cool.
Is she a princess by any chance? Because I keep getting this Shanghai Noon vibe.
No, just a little bit.
Is that like Owen Wilson, well, Shanghai Noon?
Isn't it?
Jackie Chan's Shanghai Noon. Or not,
but Owen Wilson's in it, though.
Well, he needed a paycheck at the time.
Well, what would be below an empress, I guess? That's because that's really what, you know, what it would be in okay. truth.
Not that I'm
maybe
aware
a princess,
of.
I guess. But yeah, that's.
So we don't know all the answers yet.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. We're just kinda, that's the thing about not having lyrics too. That and that's a big point of what we do is like, you know, we kind of tell a little bit of what it is and then let the rest kind of develop on its own.
So you give like the listener the idea and then we put on the music.
Right. You know,
and
hopefully that, like, that it comes out in the way that the music, you know, the structure of the song and all that.
I mean, I picture like somebody on a road trip and they're like listening to the song and just like staring out the window in like their imagination, just like putting something together with the music and the background is making their imagination stir or whatever. And so, I don't know.
That's cool. I really like that.
It's a lot like a painting.
Yeah.
The way a painting is interpreted.
Again, I guess when it, like tracking that out and stuff, it kind of felt like that too. And it's like some of it was just texture. It was like that Texas Toast song ended up having like 77 tracks, but the song still has like a lot of space and air in it, so it's kind of weird. But a bunch of it is just like a little like that was that frog thing to come or whatever, you know. A lot of it's just little textures that's in there, you know. And then there's probably about 18 of those 77 tracks that ended up not being used at all also, but like, you know, we just kept going and keep adding and then, you know, mix and drop and add and like stuff. But that was the luxury of recording at home during the pandemic. Whatever. Yeah. I go downstairs at 6 p.m. and I didn't stop until like 10 a.m. the next day or whatever. And now there was like time didn't make sense anymore. Like there wasn't. Like you just sort of.
Ideas don't wait. That's the thing. Is that,
And I would just go until like I was so wore out that I was like, I'm not productive anymore. I need to sleep. But usually just kind of like it's the same part of my brain that video games appeal to. It's like a lot of the like small progressive like improvement or whatever that you're like. I was like, oh, I can go ahead. Put the shaker in there, and I can go ahead and put this in here, and I'm gonna go ahead and knock this one out. I'm gonna go ahead, and, you know, before you know it, you're like, oh, I need to sleep.
Yeah,
like being awake hurts right now.
So did you do this like as you were mixing, dude? Because 77 tracks, I imagine mixing that would take forever.
It took a while.
Yeah, it takes a bit.
I bet during that time, probably no exaggeration, I bet I watched 600 hours of YouTube videos of like how to use Reaper software, how to edit, microphone placement, stuff like that. And I had recorded before like demos and things. And so this was like part of this process too. But outside of that too, we were like reaching out to other musicians and asking them to come in and like, hey, will you do a guitar solo on this? And you know, doing things like that. I was going to say something about the 77 tracks. Like it was, just trying to learn how to sub mix them and groups and buses and then compressing just the guitars or what, you know, and all that stuff. Like, I don't know. I spent a lot of time and it was like a learning curve from getting the interface to even like work on my computer to like trying to get it out to get somebody else to master it. Like it was, there was definitely a lot of a lot of hours of watching videos. Right, right.
Oh, I bet.
As far as doing it yourself, but we've been on the studio what, like 4 or 5
yeah.
6 times before, and like just did home recordings all the time.
It's so not just with Tsunami. We played like, in many projects. Yeah. It's like, gosh, like 1993.
Probably.
Oh, wow. what other stuff did you
have? I mean, we were like middle school age then.
Yeah, no, it's like, yeah, we were
we grew up on the same country road out in Washington County in Fredericksburg, Kentucky. Station Road. So me and Julius and
so in high school, of course, you know, it's just a high school band. You don't really do much. Maybe record a demo and all that. So that's lost.
On a Barstow Road, we drove to Louisville.
That's long lost and gone. And then, you know, you become an adult and you start playing. We played the last, last week of the Toy Tiger
closed down. Oh, wow.
And it's like...
At that point,
we were a band called Gelatin that was like kind of just pop rock.
Our leftover high school band.
It's just like leftover high school pop rock stuff. Weezer, the Green Day, blah, blah, blah. But we got to Toy Tiger and we were like, yeah, we made it. And like maybe our next stop will be Phoenix Hill. And then I think the Thunderdome was still open. So it was like, then we go to the Thunderdome and then Toy Tiger closes down. We're like, ooh, that's ominous.
Yeah.
But I mean, we still like, as far as I'm concerned, this is more of a hobby. I will probably do it until I can't do it anymore, regardless of whether it pays or not.
Right.
It's a ton of fun to do your own recording and make up your own songs. Just like, you know, like you said, a painter paints.
Yeah.
And just keep keeping on.
Too. Like when recording the tracks and stuff, it's like kind of like painting too. It's like you never really know when it's done. And it's like when I'm mixing it, I'm always like, I could make one thing on here a little bit better. Or whatever. So it's hard to know. And I feel like I've heard like painters say similar things. It's like, when's the last brush stroke? Or whatever, you know, when is the painting done? Like, when do you stop? It seems like there's always, like, something, you know, you can keep doing it to.
It's like when you're finally happy with it, but are you ever going to be 100% happy?
No. Because you can't ever make anything sound exactly like it is in your head. I'm sure directors and everybody go through
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Right. It's weird knowing, like, or trying to figure out when to stop in the mixing process.
Yeah.
Because I can always go back and do something.
Well, then you go and like, you know, take it in your car and listen to it, and you're like, wait a minute.
Oh, yeah. You put it on a
different
source.
I usually hear this frequency from these songs, and it's not coming in my mix.
Right.
Back to your mix you go, and you're like tweaking, and then you do it again. Oh, there it is. And you're like,
that
other mix
could
have been a whole different song.
Even getting the songs like mastered, I felt like I got better at knowing like what they needed, because I would give them something and things would like disappear or not be as good. It would be like, oh, so I need to mix this a little hot and this a little thin or whatever. So you kind of learn on those.
Yeah, media has changed quite a bit.
Because we've done like demos and stuff over the years. This was just the first thing we recorded ourselves to release.
Right. Well, it sounds great, by the way.
Thanks, all the
recordings sound awesome, and
hopefully we'll keep getting better at it.
You All Live is also awesome. We're gonna talk about that. First time I saw y'all was the Alcove with our homies Plague Nine.
Yeah,
who were actually our last guests of 2024, and for our holiday episode. And then you guys played with a Partners and Pals event with Some Kind of Nightmare.
Yeah,
and
that was fun.
I do have a funny story about that.
Yeah.
And you can bust me out on this.
Okay.
For that show, I hadn't taken gummies in like a month, and I just got some, and I was co-in charge of the show. Like, he was running it,
you're running door.
And I got so gummied out. I tried so hard. He came over. He's like, dude, what's going on? I'm just like, I'm sorry. And like, it was like that.
I dressed him down like a child.
And then my wife showed up and did the same, gave me one of these. When Sean was like, dude, I just see them pointing at me and stuff and shaking their head. But that was my little funny shame story about playing that. But you guys have another show coming up.
Yeah.
By the time this airs, it'll probably be this Saturday, I guess. It's January 20th, am I correct?
That is correct.
At Planet of the Tapes, Hashila.
Yep.
And with Isolation.
Isolation Tank.
Tank.
Ensemble.
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 Yes.
And what was the name of the other band?
Decapitron.
Decapitron. Awesome. And that's January 20th, everybody. We're going to post the shit out of it on Facebook and stuff. So don't forget.
Saturday, January 20th.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And do y'all have anything else lined up show-wise? Or?
No, there's a few in the works, but they're not, like, you know, pinned
so,
in yet.
So that's the,
exactly.
Yeah, that's the only confirmed one, right?
Yeah,
the
next. But yeah, usually, yeah, obviously,
but there will be
the,
more.
The winter's slower, but once summer hits, or spring and summer hits, we usually get going pretty good.
Our last show, too, was the first time we did, like, all originals too. Like we for the longest time, you know, we did a lot of surf classics, and we also would do a lot of those surf classics for like if we were doing the new Lulu, our beaters,
extended
certain
sets.
Things that we would do. Yeah, if we were doing a 2-hour set,
yeah,
and things. But this last one, we've just been really focusing on trying to get those Western ones because it's kind of like the first time we've really played them out too, or whatever, really? and tried to figure out how that was gonna work live. Thanks, well, too.
The last show was at the May Bar, right?
Yeah.
That was, there was something that I had to do and couldn't go to that. I was kind of bummed about that. But how was that?
It went well.
Yeah, it turned out really, really well.
He debuted two more newer songs that will probably end up on the that Samurai in the Sea type of stuff also.
Nice.
And the reason those all ended up being singles too, I'm sorry, I'm jumping around a little bit, is because we released like one a week every week during the one summer, whatever, like 5 weeks in a row.
Oh,
and whatever summer they came out, was that like almost 2 years ago now or something? But instead of putting them together as an album, we just were like, hey, we'll just keep putting it out. We ended up spending more on album art, I think, than we did when we recorded.
Exactly.
Which was came out really good, because I think they look great on the...
Oh, yeah.
The
ones look cool as hell.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, especially like, Athena of the Plains. That's a very cool cover.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that, very
yeah,
cool
that one that came out. Yeah. So it was Jessica...
Hakula? Yeah, it's our old guitar player's... wife's friend,
best friend. Anyway,
it just keeps rolling on, but yeah, she definitely got the idea of what I wanted as well, and you could tell, like, yeah, like I said, that album art's fantastic. It's very you know, Hokusai. That's basically what I told her. I was like, just think Hokusai, and she knew immediately what to do, you know, to get that style.
We always kind of like the bands that used a lot of art instead of band photos also.
Right.
I'm not a big fan of band photos, but yeah. I like Iron Maiden or Pink Floyd and stuff like that. And it was just like a photo.
Yeah.
And even those were like thought provoking, you know, whatever, when you're like that.
Yeah.
So we were trying to kind of go down that route a little bit more than standing in front of a brick wall or whatever.
But those are cool too, though.
No, they're super cool. But you don't know if you're supposed to look mean or smile or be, you know.
Yeah, like, it's,
you really need like a good photographer who can tell you what to do for a photo shoot. Because if it's just you all and somebody and you're just taking photos and they're just somebody with a camera. Yeah, it is that question of what am I supposed to do for this picture? But if you have somebody like, all right, mean face,
you
know, goofy face, now happy face, now, and then, you know.
I should just go get my son's friends that look cool and just take a picture of them. Tsunami Samurai.
Boost the album sales.
Yeah, that's a good idea. We're young and cool, look.
Right?
Didn't they do that in the 50s where they take a picture of, you know, actually LL Cool J, that song Doing It, the lady who actually did the track, the backing track, Doing It,
right.
Wow. She was a heavier set lady,
right.
And LL Cool J would not let her come on tour and didn't have her in the video. It was a different lady who was lip syncing on the tour and then somebody else in the video.
They didn't like let Blues Traveler be in their first video either, did they? Something.
Right. Most of it's sitting behind the stage, and then it's the band with the like skinny, good-looking guys, and then you see a little peep of Blues Traveler behind the stage.
But now Lizzo changed it for all us heavy set people. Go Lizzo.
Yeah, John Popper, I don't know, when Hook came out, that helped a little bit, but that was like, they put that to sleep. I don't know why I love that song. I love
Hook.
Yeah,
I did like that song.
Yeah, that harp solo is amazing.
I find myself getting into the Barenaked Ladies as I get older. Is that odd?
I mean, you know, we all have things that we like. I'm not gonna.
It's a journey, man. It's not about the destination.
I feel like they were on like a TV show. Didn't they do a guest spot on a TV show or something?
Probably.
They look like they should be on a TV show.
I think they did a theme song or something. Or no, wait, I was thinking the Malcolm in the Middle song, but that was They Might Be Giants.
Was it?
Yeah, I believe so. It
certainly was.
You're not the boss of me now?
Yeah.
That one?
Yeah. Okay.
Bare Naked Ladies.
A little side note to that. Have y'all ever seen the alternate ending to, it was just put on like the DVDs and stuff, to the Breaking Bad series? They made one where like it's...
I haven't finished Breaking Bad, so...
Oh, okay. Oh, this is... No spoilers on this. But... They put an ending on it where he wakes up and he's in bed with the Malcolm in the, with the wife from Malcolm in the Middle. Shit. He's like, "That's the craziest dream that I was selling meth and
hell yeah,
like the Bob Newhart or whatever."
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is funny.
Bob Newhart. Yeah, the Newhart show, the last episode of Newhart, he wakes up and it was like he was on the old show. It's like, I had this weird dream, I ran a hotel.
Oh. But that's weird because that show came after the Bob Newhart show.
Yeah.
Bob Newhart's show came first and then.
Right.
And Newhart.
Right, but he had the dream at the end of Newhart and he wakes up.
He wakes up in the old show.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Why would he wake
up? They peppered it in. Okay.
Yeah. Why would he?
I don't know. I was just like, dude, that's out of sequence. I think you're getting your Newharts mixed up.
Dude, here. I know my Newhart, okay? I know my 80s TV shows. I don't know much, but I know that.
Hi, Bob.
So, January 20th at Planet of the Tapes, everybody has to go see Tsunami Samurai. I'll probably be there.
If he's not working,
he'll be there.
But yeah, Planet of the Tapes with Isolation Tank Ensemble. That's the full name.
I like that name. And
they are fantastic.
Decapitron.
I like that name too.
Sounds like a headless transformer.
Yeah.
Like somebody just said, screw the head. That's just extra money in the budget that we don't need to spend. I'll control it from the chest.
Yeah, and it does sound deadly, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then, like, when it, like, turns into a vehicle, it turns into, like, a pacer or something. Something saved on the budget.
Oh, man. Do you have anything?
News-wise
or anything?
Well,
We
got bongos.
Yeah, we do have bongos.
Yeah, I got these for us.
Yeah, yeah.
These
Sean treated me to
a paranormal advisory sticker.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I've seen one of those since.
The Cardi B Megan Thee Stallion bongos just came out on vinyl. I pre-ordered it 4 months ago.
Yeah, he called me like in October and was like, dude, I just ordered something.
And
we're big fans of Thought Rap over here.
Okay.
So
but yeah, what other shows are coming off? I just had like three in my head. February 16th, FMK, The Basements, and the Wish You Were's from Paducah are playing Air Devils Inn, and it's The Basements return show.
Yes.
I think Jeremy, the guitar player, is singing for them, and Todd's no longer with them. Had family stuff, but yeah, that'll be fun. And then March 23rd at the Mag Bar will be Pumpkin Guts, The Response, Murder Generation from Milwaukee, and Pretty with the Lights Out.
What day? Indianapolis.
That's a Saturday.
Okay.
Yep.
And that's a Partners and Pals production at the Mag, and it's all ages, which we don't play many all ages shows. So.
And to our Cincinnati listeners. That same night will be the company picnic thing at Odd Fellows with FMK and Alex Casnell and the board of directors. And the night before, March 22nd, will be DOS, The Response, Doom City Villains, and
Murder Generation.
So, for all our listeners up there, But yes. Yeah.
But don't forget, we got a stick in your head. January 20th.
Tsunami Slammer. That is your next one.
That's your next one.
And it's at Planet of the Tapes?
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm glad I got that. Almost.
And up.
Yeah.
And
be nice to Sheila.
Yeah.
Don't give her hell. She packs a punch.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
Yeah. Up.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying. I did a roast Wednesday night of Summer at Planet of the Tapes. It was the first time I'd ever done one of those. It was super fun.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
Right. And just gave them hell.
That's awesome. Like a Friars Club roast.
Yeah, it was. It was really fun to do. I was so nervous, I was shaking. But I didn't let up. I just let them have it, and it went really well. I felt like I was the most vicious one up there, and I feel like it really paid off.
Who did you all roast?
Summer. They've been Stephen Halthauser, and they transitioned to womanhood.
Oh, okay, all right.
And so this was the death of Stephen, birth of Summer, roast, kind of thing or whatever. I think it's
so you kind of rip on the life of Stephen or whatever.
I just wrote on everything. I messaged Summer and asked if there's anything off limits, and they're no, please, the meanest roast you've ever seen in your life, go
kind
hard.
It's kind of the point.
Nothing off the line. I'm not going to be mad about anything. Go as hard as you want. And so that's what I did.
Nice.
Well, that's cool. Okay. And that's cool that you reached out to her.
Well, yeah.
Just that's a good idea, because I don't know if I would have been smart enough to think.
Yeah.
I'd have just gone, and then if I hit a button, I probably would have just crawled off stage.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the line, huh?
That's it. Yeah.
Do you guys have anything else that you'd like to plug besides all the stuff on Spotify?
Yeah, check it out. It's on YouTube and stuff too, whatever. You can go in and check our stuff out, and we should have more coming.
Facebook, Instagram,
TikTok.
And yeah, that's another thing. There will be more content from us. We're definitely got more songs in us as far as
we've been sort of
fleshing all this out. I think we're going to probably stick on this Western theme for a while, and then see what it'll probably, as she goes to the West Coast, then off to the islands to Hawaii or something,
nice.
Just that journey. That's kind of how it seems like it's going to end up going anyway.
The spaghetti Western stuff that I saw you guys
play. It's really cool.
I dig it. You guys play it well.
Sounds like really good cross-country road trip music.
Yes.
Especially once you hit mid-Texas and you start hitting the desert a little bit.
Right.
Yeah, that was the idea.
I think
mission accomplished.
Yeah.
Yes. Check them out, Tsunami Samurai. And next week we'll be here with Mongo. And,
From, what's it
Glasgow.
Called? Glasgow, Kentucky. I want to say Scotland, Kentucky, but I know
it's weird. I'm the biggest pothead ever, and I'm still can remember all the dates and where everybody's from. That's the only thing that I don't know. It's one of the few things I'm good at, so I'm gonna pat myself on.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
Hey, thank you all
for being
here.
Thanks for inviting us to that show with the Air Devil. That was really fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Oh, we had a blast.
Oh yeah,
we're trying to make a comeback. So
yeah,
see how it goes.
We will do more stuff with you guys in the future, whether it be on the show or at a show. So thank you all so much again for coming by. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, thanks for helping validate our existence.
Oh, man.
It validates itself, so.
I feel like enough people don't realize how amazing you all are yet, too, so that was another reason we wanted to get you all on the show.
Okay.
And might help.
Oh, annoying suggestion time, because I'm sure people are like, you should do a surf version of this, so I'm going to...
We might have.
Should do the surf version of the Godzilla song.
I don't know. That might be that.
Or Godzilla themed. You don't even have to do the song. Just put it in the file cabinet.
Yeah, we'll put it on the to-do list.
Yeah, see, I hate it when people do that.
Yeah,
too,
no, we get it all the time. Yeah. You should do the, sir, I think, the Sonic theme. And they throw all kinds of shit at you.
and you want to be like, you should mind your business and just listen to what comes out, but you can't because they're nice enough to listen to you. And,
yeah.
You know, but yeah, all the Godzilla stuff just, you know.
As a matter of fact, maybe you should do that.
Yeah. If I could talk them into it, I would totally do the come out to the Godzilla theme.
Oh, I'll
do even play the Godzilla theme.
I'd do anything.
Well, we'll open for you guys.
All right, I guess we've hit the mark. So thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you all so much. All right, folks, we love you. We'll see you next week. And check out Tsunami Samurai. January 20th, Planet of the Tapes.
Woo!
Woo!